Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
The recording is in progress. You're also muted.
I've been informed that the recording is in fact in progress.
Yes, it has. And the greatest thing is that, of course, you text me the second that I let the dog out of the house to go to bed. So I'm going to have to, in about 5 minutes, let the dog back in. So you may hear a small beagle bark in the background, and I have to go let him in.
So I believe the answer to the perennial question is you, Joe, let the dog out.
I did. Oh, sweet Jesus, I did. Before we talk about anything today, I want to talk about like crazy synchronicity that happened to me today.
I'm ready.
Okay, so at the beginning of the summer, I was at Goodwill and I bought a bowling ball, right? I bowl in my spare time as well as play mini games, I know. I am entering that phase of my life where I am an old man. I am well aware of it. I love bowling and I don't give a shit. So I found this bowling bag that was really cool. It's really, you know, 70s authentic. Open it up, find a ball inside. Ball's name is Bob. The ball had my exact finger grip in it, which I was like, oh, well, that's perfect, right?
Did you name the ball Bob? Or
no, Bob was already written on the ball.
I see.
And it was, as I said, my exact finger grip, which, you know, not unusual, but it's, you know, I have kind of a fat fingers, but they're not very far apart. So it's kind of weird to find something that works really well for me. Anyway, I took it as a sign. It even had shoes in it that were my size. So I was like, perfect. Awesome. So I bought the bowling ball, bought it, you know, been bowling with it all summer long. Today, I just happened to be opening it up and a little piece of paper came out of a pocket that I hadn't really noticed before. And I was like, oh, well, that's crazy. So I pull out the piece of paper and I look at it and it's bowling scores, right?
All right.
I open it up. I look at it. I was like, oh, maybe Bob's name is on this. It was all of my teachers from high school. Like,
all right.
And I went to high school about 50 miles away from where I live now. So I was like, holy shit, this is insane. Literally, I guess Bob had worked at the school I used to go to in high school. And he was on like a teacher bowling team and all of the teachers were on this bowling team. And he used this ball during those league games. And the score sheet was from like 1997. So I finally got to figure out who Bob was and how he was like related to me. Like, that's insane.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
Yes. And hold on. The dog is outside.
All right, let's go. Joe's letting the dog in. You're sitting with just me. I'm singing a song now while Joe gets his doggo. I'm actually painting a griffin's eye right now.
I am back.
Oh, you're back.
Yes, I had to. I was priming my models earlier, and you know, the second you go outside to prime, the dog's like, fuck, I gotta get outside because I gotta take a shit. Holy fuck, let me out, let me out, let me out.
That checks out.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's my interesting Bob story. I know it has absolutely nothing to do with gaming, but I was like, this is fantastic.
I mean, I liked it.
Yes. It had a little heart to it, too. You know, Bob's dead. I found out who the real Bob is, and he passed recently.
Did you know Bob?
I did not, unfortunately.
That would have been a real full circle moment.
I know. I kind of wish that it happened. Like, the writer in me was like, fuck. Let's go back. Let's take this. Take two. Let's go. I'm going to go find out who Bob was. But no, I never knew Bob. He was actually in another school in my district.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. But I knew all the other teachers on there. So that was pretty cool. Except for not to say anything against all the other teachers, but my favorite teacher in high school was on that thing, but he did not bowl that game. He was doing something else that day. So I never got to figure out what his score was.
Oh, that's a shame.
I know. And I was really disappointed with that.
You can't razz him. You can't razz him appropriately about his bad bowling skills or compliment him on his impressive bowling skills.
I think he's dead.
Well, I mean, then you can't compliment his grave on his impressive or, you know, same thing.
However, I did roll a 174 today. So that was pretty impressive on my end. So I was happy with that score.
All right.
That's the best score I've had all summer. I've been rolling like shit all summer. But no, I shouldn't say I've been rolling like shit. I haven't been rolling as well as I have in the past.
I do like that you were referring to it as rolling.
Oh, you got to roll. You got to roll those stones.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I love the Big Lebowski so much. It speaks to me.
I mean, I also love the Big Lebowski.
Yes, but you don't bowl.
I would not consider myself a bowler. I also love Kingpin, and I actually think the Big Lebowski and Kingpin makes a killer double feature.
Yeah. I mean, it's Kingpin is good. I don't think it's held up as well, but the jokes are very early 90s.
Oh yeah, I mean it's a 90s comedy.
I mean, they are very 90s, and plus it does have an appearance by Smash Mouth at the end. So
Smash Mouth? No, that's not Smash. It's not Smash Mouth. It's the fat guy, John Poplar.
Oh, Blues Travelers. Blues Travelers.
Blues Traveler.
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, once upon a
midnight dreary, something
in my head. I couldn't escape the memory of a phone call and what you said. There was a brief period in the 1990s, people, where America lost its shit over Blues Travelers. And they're a good band, but I can't explain it.
They were really all over fucking everything. They were like guest starring on sitcoms. And they're just, yeah, it was wild.
Fat John Popper playing his harmonica on top of every House of Blues in America.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was
a wild, heady time between the fall of communism and the 9/11 attacks.
The heady time of the 90s.
The heady time of the 1990s. As I've said before, a shrill and vapid decade. Like all decades, but even more so.
Yeah, more so than the 80s.
Oh, yes. The 90s. I feel the 90s were super vapid. Like, there was just... Because we had no great end, like there was no, like nothing was pushing us as a civilization. So we were aimlessly adrift, and we had stuff like Swing come back. And, you know, for some odd reason, like new metal became a thing.
Yeah, but the Super Nintendo is from the 90s.
Yeah, but that's, you know, it's but even still.
Hang on one sec.
Even still. All right. So anyway, we're recording this at a weird time on a Tuesday night. Because Steve's going to be busy on the weekend, so we're recording this a little earlier. So if, like, for some odd reason, something gets nuked and we don't comment on this on Sunday, we apologize.
Yeah, I mean, I don't apologize. I apologize.
I mean, yeah, Steve wouldn't apologize.
I apologize for nothing.
I apologize for no man.
Yeah. We've got to get the biggest giant news out of the way. Like,
what's the biggest giant news?
Come on, you know.
I know. I'm waiting for you to tell me. I'm waiting for you to tell people.
There's a Kickstarter coming, y'all. You're gonna flip your shit, everyone. This is something that we've covered before, and now we have the joy. You know what? We have the privilege
and honor.
And honor of covering it once again. Rivet Wars is back, baby.
It's back.
There's a Kickstarter coming from Steamforged. They're doing Rivet Wars.
Rivet Wars. You know, it was dumb when it came. You know what the funny thing is I remember I got to think back to the Wayback Machine, you know, like
I believe we were complimentary towards it, but I believe our consensus was it's definitely not for us.
You know, I'll have to look and see. Like, I wonder if I could find our original Rivet Wars review. When was that game come out? But it was at that time when Kickstarters were just becoming like super big.
Yes.
And like mini Kickstarters where you were getting like a fuck ton of minis in every Kickstarter.
Yeah. And it was the early Kickstarter mini boom.
Yeah. And it was one of those, and I remember that there was so much stuff. It looked cool. It was more board gamey from what I remember.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, that makes sense because that Steamforge is kind of like. We're joking about it, but like in terms of a company that like it has in their wheelhouse, that's exactly what the kind of game that Steamforge should have, because that's what they do. Like, they made God Terror, which is a board game as well. It has minis, but it's a board game.
Yeah.
Guild Ball had minis, but was a board game. That's their thing, man, and they do it well. Minus, I mean, I know there's like Bad Blood. about Guild Ball because it was canceled or I don't know. There's like,
you know what? I still think, you know, I like the concept of ending the game. It's like how the British do TV shows. It's like, don't milk it until it's bad. Just end it when it's great. And then just like, you know, like give everybody the opportunity to move on to something else.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird, I don't know how to. It really depends on what the game is. Like, well, I'm trying to think how to formulate this thought. Cause like, I kind of agree with you, but I also disagree. Like, I think I'm really into the concept. Like, so for me, I mean, and this probably just comes from the fact that I've, you know, played so many card games or whatever, but I'm so into the concept of seasons.
Yeah.
With everything. I really like seasons. And I think that, like, I understand there's always people who are like, well, I want to use the stuff I got. And it's like, yeah, I mean, that's valid, but that's why you make it seasons. Cause then if all you need to do to support your old models is to like throw new rules at them, just do that. Cause you know, like, so for example, let's just, I mean, we'll use our old favorite Warhammer 6th edition. So Warhammer 6th edition, let's just say up to what, Ogre Kingdoms. So like every army was out. There's a shit ton of armies. This game is huge. You need a lot of models to play. So they do 7th edition, and 7th edition is where that game system started to like bloat. They did the opposite, where they started making it where you needed more and more and more. So what you should do is when your new season comes out, you basically retire a bunch of your armies. You put them into like you say, hey, these armies are going to get retired for the next season. If you want them, you have this much time to grab them. They'll be supported in our legacy format, but they're not going to have new updates. So like, you know, we have 10. I mean, you'd need to really, really like structure your game around this principle. Like you couldn't just like slap it into a game. So like, obviously I'm not saying that I'm not saying that Warhammer should have done this, but like, you know, you set like a goal, like how many factions you want, how long you want the season to be. And then like, basically you want to set yourself up for, you have a year where you just take everything that you have, maybe not everything, but most of the things you have, and you go, oh, okay, this stuff's legacy now. This is going to be the new stuff. You can reformulate. I think it would work a lot better in a, it works a lot better with card games because card games are more free form. So you'd need to do something that's not your average minis game. Like, something like where you just like kind of can use whatever. Maybe like, I don't know, like I'd say War Machine, but not quite, but like, something where everyone can kind of use more figures than normal, I'd say. You really couldn't do it where you also have the armies gated, because that just would make people salty when you get rid of their army, Menoth, and you're like, yeah, there's just no more Menoth. Sorry, bro.
No more Menoth, bro.
There's no more Menoth, bro, but we're keeping Signar and Krix. And there's no more Retribution of Cyrus. Sorry, bro. Yeah, because that's what War Machine did, where they did like a weird, like a bunch of the armies are canceled, but not all of the armies are canceled. So there's definitely some salt from people who had their armies canceled while there are other armies that are not canceled. Yeah. Like, again, this is all just my opinion, but in my opinion, I think that's actually worse than what Age of Sigmar did, where Age of Sigmar blew up the rules, but if you had any army, you could still play.
Yeah. I mean, my only thing is, and you know, I was listening to you, but I was also, I may have missed this point if you had made it, because I was looking up and seeing if I could find an original Rivet Wars review.
valid.
Yeah. The only thing is that because Guild Ball had such small teams, that it was like the investment was not as heavy as having a 2,150 point fantasy army.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they canceled the whole game, if I remember correctly.
They did.
Like, but like it seems like that would like, well, I don't know. I have no idea. I can't tell you the stories or like the reason behind it. I also can't tell you, you know, why people are extra salty about it. Games come and go. Like, you could still play the game. I don't know. There's definitely like a,
well, there's a level of entitlement to any gamer because we are all just children. That's all we are. We're just children.
Everyone's a child anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying gamers in particular, we're just children. We're just. I'm not even saying man child, because that's not true. There's no, you have never become a man. We are just, Arrested Development.
I would push back on that and say everyone is like that. Have you ever talked to someone who's really, really into sports?
No, because I choose not to have that part of my life.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, everyone is the same.
My favorite is that, because, you know, secretly I do really like hockey and I watch hockey and I tend to follow it, right? I mean, not like rabid fan or anything like that, but I enjoy it. And every once in a while, something will happen. And I'll talk to one of my friends and be like, hey, did you watch what happened in the game yesterday with the Avalanche? And he's just like, why are you talking about hockey? I'm like, because I like hockey. And he's like, no, you're Joe. You don't like sports. I'm like, God damn it. I'm allowed to like sports. It's just I don't like the vast majority of them. And I don't like most sports fans.
Yes, I definitely agree on the sports fan part.
Yes.
That tangent threw me off. I lost my train. Okay. So
Rivet Wars.
Yeah. No. There's a specific thing with minis gamers, because like there's like a feeling, I think, and I'm just gonna strictly say it's a feeling, where only a few minis gamers don't subscribe to this, but most do. So the majority of minis gamers are like this, where like if a game is not actively continuously supported, they just won't play it anymore. They're just like, nope, this game's dead. I'm not playing it anymore. They just stop playing it. And like for a game like Guild Ball, to me, that seems kind of goofy, because if it's like a board game, like people don't stop playing Dominion because there's no more Dominion expansions. Like, I mean, some people might, but like the game still sells, you know, like the board game still exists. And if your minis game is more like a board game, why would you quit playing?
I think that's because in competitive miniatures gaming, there's always going to be imbalance and they rely on rules to balance it out, like updated rules on a regular basis to balance it out, or new factions to help balance out overpowered factions. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, from playing Magic and 40K and Fantasy, you know that the meta changes very quickly and will move towards whatever is going to win the most on the regular basis.
True. You're not wrong. However, you can really push back against that with doing updates and changes like they did with the General's Handbook for Age of Sigmar. Like that was it. That's why
when a game is not supported anymore, people aren't going to play it.
Right. So what my stance is, like, if you're so from a company angle, why not just reduce the game to rule books? Like, just be like, you know, so say Guild Ball, be like, hey, we're not going to make any new factions for Guild Ball, but we're going to make new supplements for X amount of time or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, and these supplements are going to fine tune the balance. It seems like a win-win scenario, because you basically retire the game, but you just keep it moving with, like, you know, updates and like some changes and tweaks, and, you know, people will still want to play it without you having to make new stuff, if that makes sense.
No, it makes sense. I'm just my whole point is that it's like no one's gonna do that.
I know it wouldn't work for a traditional minis game, don't get me wrong. Like, it's not gonna work for any like war game, but for something that's closer to a board game, like, you know, like Guild Ball was, like, it seems like it would work. I don't know. I know the idea is you want to just shift your money towards other projects because you want to make new money. Like, I get it. It's, you know, the endless pull of making more dollars. Like, you know, we only made plus 200% this year. It should have been 300%. Why not line go up? Why not line go? Oh, line did go, but line did go up. Why not line go up more? I get it. I don't know, but like there's like I wish I knew more details about it, but I believe they're particularly salty because of like the way it was handled before it was canceled too, and then also how the cancellation happened. And then Steamforge has had, you know, several like issues. Like, I guess the Dark Souls rule book for the RPG was so bad, apparently they essentially recalled it.
Yeah.
This was Steamforged as well, but like there was like typos, mechanics that didn't function because they referenced rules that didn't exist. It was like, it was basically like, I don't know, what's less than a beta rule set?
Sigma.
It was a Sigma rule set.
Yeah, but you know what? That's what. That's why you need to sell those to the Sigma male gamers. It's a Sigma rule set. You know what? This rule set's not complete because you know who's going to complete it? You. You got to get on that grind. You got to get on that Sigma grind and fix this rule set.
That's true. I mean, as someone who's on the Sigma grind set himself, I mean, it makes sense. I get it. I understand. that you know what? You're talking good things. Let's buy some NFTs.
NFTs all the way.
Yeah, let's get some NFTs.
You know, it'd be perfect with my Peaky Blinders tattoo that I got.
That was a pull. Was Peaky Blinders the Sigma male thing? Oh,
well, that's always what you see. You see the Sigma male will always post images from like Peaky Blinders with the text underneath. So it'll be like, you have to have like Peaky Blinders, Joker from The Dark Knight.
I think you use the new Joker now. The what's his name? The
I think either of them would work.
Joaquin Phoenix Joker, I believe, has completely taken over the Dark Knight Joker.
Well, how old is your Sigma male? That's the question.
Oh, that's true. Oh, you know what? They might even just pull a twofer and just post both Jokers.
Yeah. Both of them talking to like back to back.
Ooh, yeah, there we go.
Yeah. And saying something like only you could watch your own back.
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah. So
let's refocus our podcast and make it a Sigma male Sigma gaming grind set, a Sigma gamer grind set.
Yeah. About how like I don't even know like what the fuck a Sigma gamer or male is, in all honesty. I just see people making fun of it.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, obviously Sigma is not something I would want to be.
Okay, so it's immediately, I mean, so first off, it was introduced completely heartfelt. Like it was unironically, it was introduced as like a real thing.
Oh, I thought that was a joke. I thought it was like a 4chan joke.
That's the thing that's funny about it is that like it was pushed by like, you know, the hyper masculine alpha male community like out like a wet fart, and because it was so ridiculous and silly, it immediately became a meme, and obviously nobody takes it seriously other than like the most incel bros.
Ooh, the most incel bros.
So what a Sigma male is this is the canon lore of a Sigma male, is they're an alpha male, but they're a loner. They're a lone wolf.
Oh, they're a lone alpha male.
Yeah, they're a lone wolf. So like an alpha male is like, so Sigma is not necessarily better than alpha, but they're like, you would say that they're separate but equal.
Okay.
Because the alpha is a leader. And, you know, it runs with a pack. So the alpha's, you know, got lots of leadership things and likes to, you know, go with a group and like probably has like a crew, as it were, of homies. The Sigma male is content to grind on his own. And he's a loner, a grind set. So there you go. So that's what the actual like made up Sigma male thing is. It's really funny. And like it was pushed by like the YouTube, you know, the YouTube hyper male guys. And it was so ridiculous, it immediately just became meme fodder. And now it's just very funny.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
It's not. They're the worst people. So it's not sad.
They are the worst people.
So it's not sad at all. It's actually just funny. Very funny.
Well, so if you are a Sigma male, you should probably buy Rivet Wars.
Yes, like me.
Getting all back to the original point of the conversation. If you are a Sigma male, buy Rivet Wars.
Sigma Wars.
Yes, there you go. You know, I kind of wish I played Rivet Wars back in the day. Now I wish I could have a better understand, like a better review of it. But I honestly don't remember much about it other than the fact that I looked at it and go, I don't want to paint these.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing for me is like they're just such a weird looking model because they're all those kind of like cylinders.
They're not like chibis. They're like pegs.
Yeah, they look like not meeples. What's little tykes?
They look like something you could easily put up your butt.
Oh yeah, obviously. But I mean any miniature can easily go up your butt if you're brave enough.
Very true.
They look like the little people. They're like the fat little toys.
Little people.
Are they called little people? Yeah, they're like yeah. Okay, so they look like little people soldiers. Yeah. There's a new faction. I don't know anything about it because River Wars, if I remember correctly, was like a weird like quasi historical goofball.
Yeah, it was like World War One.
Yeah, so like I think they're kind of dropping that idea. For the most part, it looks like they're just kind of doing like a maybe, oh, dare I say it, diesel punk.
It's been tried numerous times. Dystopian Wars is another one I could think of that I actually did really like the models for Dystopian Wars.
Yeah, Dystopian Wars is cool.
Yeah, but it was Dystopian Legions, wasn't that the?
Oh yeah, Dystopian Wars was the boat one.
Was the boat one? Toot toot.
Well, yeah, Dystopian Legions was the minis one.
Yeah, well, it was like boat, tanks, or planes.
Yeah, talk about it's funny. Talk about a meteoric rise and fall of a company.
Spartan.
Yeah.
I don't think there was much of a meteoric rise with that. I think that they pushed out a lot really fast, and then nothing ever happened with it.
Oh, is that it? I don't know. I mean, you can't push out that much without some sort of sales. And there was definitely people playing. I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, there had to have been. I mean, let's with the drop, not drop zone. Firestorm Armada was a really fun spaceship game that took the place of Battlefleet Gothic.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah. However, they introduced like 800 factions, and when you put out that much, when you have that much SKU bloat, stores aren't going to carry it that much. And,
yeah,
your shit's got to be, what's the word I'm looking for?
Compact.
Your shit's got to be tight. Let's put it that way. Yeah. You got to be able to walk into a store, and people got to look and see like four different factions and be like, I'm going to pick one of these four. I am at least going to find some other people who are going to play at least one of these other factions. You can't make all four factions out of those four factions, one of them super cool, because everyone's going to play the super cool looking faction.
True.
That's just the way it's going
to
handle.
They all have to be cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of SKU bloat and factions and too many things, War Machine.
You wanted to talk about the army boxes.
Yeah, they had their big relaunch at Gen Con.
Gen Con, which I didn't go to, by the way, not because I'm protesting Indiana. I do that on a regular basis, but as we all know, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, so I don't really care that much.
I mean, I still just hate Indiana as a state.
I just hate Indiana as a state. It was the same weekend as C2E2 and throwback flashback horror weekend in Chicago, so I went to that instead.
It was also Vore Day over the weekend.
Vor as in the subgenre of fetish where people are getting eaten?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. It turns out there are some issues. There was some uncured resin. The initial review I read was like, a lot of these issues are the same things that I ran into when I first started doing my own 3D printing. That was what the review was. However, all that said, and I thought the price was outrageous. I thought $200.
Outrageous.
I mean, I did. $200 for 18 miniatures. Like, I thought that was outrageous. That's the same like retail as if you had to pay retail, but that's the same retail for Dominion, and Dominion comes with a fuckload of miniatures and a full hardcover rule book. And two factions. It's a $200 single player box, comes with 18 models. I don't know. I thought the price was absolutely absurd. So my prediction was that this was going to just like completely implode, fall flat on its face, and, not do very well. Cause it just
prediction. Pain.
Yeah, my prediction was pain. Turns out I'm a big idiot.
Well, we all know that.
We're all idiots, but I mean, in this specific instance, I'm an idiot. There is apparently a massive glut of people who want to buy really expensive 3D printed War Machine models because they sold so many kits through Gen Con, they had to pause sales on their website.
Woohoo! Good for them.
So yeah, apparently the people are hungry for privateer press.
It's funny that this is all kind of coming together right now, because I've been talking to a couple people, and that right now we're on a GW downswing. Not in terms of sales, but 40K is now getting back to that unplayable era where people are ditching it wholesale. So like everyone came back for, what was it, 8th edition was the big one that everyone came back for, and yep, everyone really liked it. They relaunched it with 9th edition, and now people are abandoning it again. They're saying it's coming out, it's too much. You have to have too much stuff to play your games, and it's becoming way too much about whatever's the hot product, and so people aren't playing it anymore.
Yeah, I heard there was a very recent tournament update that seems to be riding the ship, so to speak, on that.
Oh, could be.
Much like they did. I mean, very recent, just like how they did with the GHB for Age of Sigmar.
Yeah.
It seems that, like, I mean, the fact that Workshop is willing to start, like, actually, like, spot checking their rules with updates like this rather than just let things fester until, like, everything goes to shit is nice. It's refreshing.
It is refreshing, isn't it?
I mean, it is. As someone who suffered through many editions of just ass Workshop games, I was like, oh, this is like a weird, brave new world. And you know, we're both longtime Workshop dorks. Like,
yeah. But I tend to think, though, that it's not necessarily about, like, rules. I think it's just, like, people are burnt out. They've had how many years of playing 40K, and now they're kind of like, well, I'm going to go play something else again.
Right. I mean, there's always the standard ebb and flow. But, I mean, we're talking about, like, you're talking about people who are like, I'm not playing 40K anymore ever again. Like, that's...
Yeah, we all know that's a lie.
Yeah, they're all liars. They're also idiots, because they're going to be back.
They're going to be back.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like it's a good step. But now that said, Kill Team is apparently fucking dope right now, and the new expansion is apparently super sick.
Yeah, people really like it. The one with the Kroot and the space and, like, the Imperial Guard boarding troops.
The Imperial Navy. The first time that the Imperial Navy has had more than, like, a single model.
Yeah. No, I mean, Kill Team is pretty good from what I've played with it. I will tell you, if I'm going to play a skirmish game, I'm playing Warcry. I think Warcry is way more fun than Kill Team. Mm. Kill Team is a little more rulebooky. Not rulebooky. What's something we're gonna look for? Like, you got a lot more to keep track. Bookkeeping. It's got a lot more bookkeeping in it.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a lot more, like, it's very, very fiddly. It's like playing an RPG a lot. You know,
I mean, like, that's cool if that's what you want, but that's definitely not a pick up and play skirmish game.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is, but there's, like, you can play it pick up and play, but in order to get, like, the most out of it, it becomes very, very bookkeeping.
Yeah, just like Mordheim.
Yeah, it's like Mordheim or Necromunda, but even more so than those, from what I've saw. I have not played it since I got a demo of the new version, which I was like, "Ooh, this is great," but then I also remember I was getting a demo from a Games Workshop person, which, as we all know, it's not anything like the game you're actually going to play.
It's secrets and lies.
It's all secrets and lies to get you to like the game.
Speaking of games and skirmish and...
Oh, wait. I know you're doing your transition here, but I wanted to point out that the original Rivet Wars Kickstarter was from Cool Mini or Not and released on September... It was originally going to drop in September 2013.
Wow. Almost a decade ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that means that it ended about a full decade ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess we could refer to this game as a blast from the past.
Yes. And so going back to that's before fifth edition even dropped.
Yeah, I mean, that was Warhammer Fantasy was still a game.
Yeah, it was. I was looking back at some of our old episodes to see if I could find when we would have talked about it.
That's still my favorite. That's the only episode name I actually remember, and I'll never forget it. T3 armies are not for me.
T3 armies are not for me. Or what about Friends Don't Let Friends Play Games with True Line of Sight?
That one's good, but, like, I couldn't remember that one just, like, out of nowhere. Like, T3 armies are not for me is something I'll never forget. You thought that was just that tickled your, when I said that just tickled your fancy.
I do have to laugh, because going back, if we went back to when this game dropped, that was at the very, very, very beginning of Game Classy. Like, I'm talking episode, like, in the teens.
Nice.
There was almost a part where we were still part of Planet Arbitrary, like when we were on the Planet Arbitrary feed.
Nice.
Yes. So that, you know, sixth edition 40K at that point. So I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to look through all these old episodes, but I could find it somewhere in there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. But who knows? It could be wherever. And we all kind of sound like this for some odd reason. I don't know why on the old podcast we always talk a little bit higher, but whatever.
Oh, that's probably because our voices were higher.
We weren't beaten down by life.
Yeah, we weren't beaten down by a double pandemic, life, you know.
What are you talking about? Double pandemic, which is last year.
No, we got double pandemic now. We got the monkeypox.
Monkeypox, whatever. I'm not worried about the monkeypox, Steve.
You say that now, then your monkey's gonna get poxed.
Well, if my monkey gets the pox, I'll be a little upset.
See?
I paid a lot for that monkey and I plan on eating him.
That's what I'm saying. that pox is gonna ruin the flavor.
Make him all tight and stringy.
Ugh. Boobos. So speaking of skirmish and small games, I've now played a couple games of BattleTech Alpha Strike.
Yeah, right after BattleTech fired their alt-right writer.
Yeah, so that's true. They fired their Ultra MAGA Chud, which is really funny. I didn't know they had an Ultra MAGA Chud, but I mean, it's miniatures game, so there's you can't spit without hitting an Ultra MAGA Chud somewhere. But anyway, that's cool. It's really funny that they fired that guy. It's awesome that he doesn't have a job anymore. I hope nobody ever hires him. So sweet. And yes, I discriminate on people's political beliefs 100%. I will always do it. I think it is smart to do, because it tells you what their character is as a person.
As I always say, it's like there is no ethical consumption under capitalism. All you could do is punish the people for saying the quiet part out loud.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. If you have horrible, twisted beliefs, yeah, keep that to yourself, buddy.
Yeah, pretty much. It doesn't matter. As I, you know, you like eating at that restaurant? Oh, I can't wait to tell you what the owner of that restaurant thinks. Because yep. Every restaurant owner is awful. Awful human being.
Yep. Yeah, basically.
Anyway, continue. Know what? Let's stop here and then we'll come back for your review of the BattleTech skirmish stuff.
All right, sounds good.
All right, hold on.
Recording in progress. I heard the message, so we won't lose this.
Continue.
So BattleTech Alpha Strike. I've now played a couple games of it. It's great. It's really, really, really good. I'm a huge fan of it. I think it's fantastic. I think it's a quick-paced game. They eliminated all the obnoxious bookkeeping that BattleTech used to have. Everything's on your little card. And if you don't want to, you can still cut. The thing that's cool is they somehow managed to eliminate all the bookkeeping, but still let you customize the absolute shit out of everything. Because
What faction are you playing and why is it the Jade Falcon?
I am playing Jade Falcon.
I knew you were playing Jade Falcon.
No, that's not true. They're not the most popular clan. Wolf is the most popular clan.
The Wolf clan is probably the most popular. Yeah, and you know what the funny thing is? I don't know shit about BattleTech, but you know what the two things I do know? Wolf clan, Jade Falcon.
You know why you know Jade Falcon?
Because the cartoon.
Because the cartoon. Yeah. Yes. You dare refuse my patrol? I watched the first episode of it again. I was dying laughing. It's terrible. It's so bad, but it's funny.
It's so bad. Someone saw Exo Squad and were like, we could do this.
And they made a shitty, real shitty version of Exo Squad.
Exo Squad was so good.
Exo Squad's still good. Exo Squad holds up, man. It's still really good. The themes of Exo Squad are absolutely still like shocking that wasn't a children's television program.
I know,
in like an offensive way, but in like that dealt with like deep themes like duty, sacrifice, actual like racism, prejudice. Like it dealt with like actual real world, and it didn't like sugarcoat it either. Like there was characters who were like, I hate you because you're a Neo-Sapien, you're inferior, and it's just like, but I'm not, I'm genetically superior to you, but I don't feel that you're inferior, like you shouldn't treat people like that. And he's like, you're not a person, and you know, like that kind of shit. It's like, damn, like that shit's real. And like I had a compelling villain because like the villain was a slave. Like you, like the villains of that series are a slave race. And like that shit gets brought up all the time. It's just like, they're even the good guys are like, yeah, I mean, the Neo-Sapiens aren't all wrong. Like we enslaved them, which was wrong.
Impressive story.
And then anyway, back to Jade Falcon and their 6,000 years of recorded history, according to the BattleTech lore.
Yes, my Jade Falcons. Yeah, so I'm playing Jade Falcon. However, there's no special rules for any clans. They don't have the only thing that specific clans or houses do is you can use specific pilots if you want. So you can use like specific mechs, but there's no like clan special rules, or there's no like faction special rules or things that exist like that. The game's super customizable. But yeah, so like the minis come with cards, and the thing that's sweet is that you can use the card or you can customize your mini, and you could be like, I want to use these guns, this and that. And there's actually a bunch of resources to just print your own card. So you make a custom mech like the way you want it, and then you print your own reference card that you can use the same way as you use the ones that come with the game, which is cool. Actually being able to keep some of the customization options, but give you, there's still no bookkeeping because you print the card out. So all of the stuff that you'd normally do via like lots of bookkeeping and like pointing out for the normal game is just you do it all beforehand. It's on your card. Your mech ends up with a certain point value and you just play with your mech. The gameplay is incredibly fast. It's really well done. I like the system a lot. So it uses a combination of alternating activations. And then, so it uses alternating activations for movement. So I move a guy, you move a guy, and we do that until all the figures have moved. Then one side shoots all of their guns. The side that lost initiative shoots all of their guns, and you basically note all of the shooting effects. So you're like this much damage, blah 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 blah, and then the other person shoots their guns, and then you apply the effects. So the reason this is good for the reason why the person that lost the initiative shoots first is because all the damage happens at the same time. So because the damage happens at the same time, if you lost the initiative to me and you shoot two of my mechs and two of my mechs die, like you've killed two of my mechs, they aren't dead until the end of the shooting phase. So I know that they're going to die at the end of the shooting phase. So that means that I can use anything they have that's limited use or heat. I can be like, well, this mech's going to use all four of his heat to shoot because, I mean, he's dead. So I get to burn all of my – I don't have to think about anything in the future for that guy because he's dead. So – it has that. And then you apply all the shooting effects after taking the turn, after one player shoots everything, the other player shoots everything, then you apply all the shooting effects. So the dead mechs go away, critical hits are applied, so on and so forth. I know it works out really well when you're playing. Cause when I was first playing it and Joe was explaining to me how like things were going to resolve, I was like, that sounds kind of weird. But after playing it just a couple rounds, I was like, ah, I see it. Also, the biggest thing that this shooting system does by far is it completely deletes the 40K snowball issue, where, because for 40K, everything is shooting. Everything has great shooting in 40K, obviously, because that's the game. And there's the problem where like the person who wins initiative in 40K, a lot of times will win because if they're just trying to table you, they'll just be like, okay, I shoot all of my shit. I kill half your army. Your halved army shoots, it's effective, but because your army is halved, you only kill a quarter of my army, so now my 75% kills the rest of your 50%. The attrition is just like really, yeah, really,
it's a game of attrition at that point,
right? And it's really unfavorable for the person who didn't go first. So with BattleTech, that's kind of like eliminated as a possibility, because if I shoot and I kill, if you've got 8 mechs and I've got 8 mechs and I shoot and I blow up 4 of your mechs, those 4 mechs still get a chance to shoot before the turn is over. Because the shooting happens at the end of the phase. So it immediately removes that, like, well, I might as well concede at the end of the first turn because you blew away half my mechs. It's just like, no, that's not the case at all. Shoot your mechs. See what damage you can do back. It's very nice. I was a big, big fan of that system for a shooting heavy game. Big, big, big fan. Yeah, it's really fun, really fast, really easy. I highly recommend it. It's also very customizable. You can play it on a. It's the core rules are designed to be played.
Can I customize it with better looking figures?
You can if you want.
There's a lot of 3D printed BattleTech stuff. So
it's not the authentic chonky BattleTech figures though. There's a certain charm to like the fact that you're using a model that literally hasn't been improved since the 80s, other than like maybe getting bigger. I like the models. I think they're cool. But I get that they're they're not they're not the most amazing looking the fucking sculpts in the world. I do like them though. Like I said, they have a charm.
It would literally be like you're like they've created the greatest video game of all time, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to play this. And you put it in there, and it's got all the graphics of like Earthbound, and you're just kind of like,
People love those games. They call those indie darlings.
I know, but it's like at the same time, you're just kind of like, I'm not gonna play this. But that's what I'm saying. It's like you guys with BattleTech. It's like this is the greatest game ever. It's like not gonna play it, bro. Those models suck.
Yeah, I mean the models aren't great, but like I said, I like their charm. But it's the same thing. It's the same reason I like them, for the same reason that I really like the old fifth edition single pose Warhammer models. There's just that like cheese. Although I will say, in their defense, the newest ones from Catalyst do look much better than the older ones. Like they have more detail. They look better. The physical designs look worse than the models, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
So like, cause like some of the models actually have some pretty good detail now, cause they're using that really nice plastic. So like, there's actually like, you can see like windows for the mech cockpit, and like guns, like all of the guns are, you know, like every gun's bullets barrels. All the guns' barrels are there. Like, you know, things look, they look good, but you can't get over. If you can't get over the fact that the actual like mech design,
I'm playing the Exo Squad theme in case you can hear it.
Hell yeah. Unless you can't get over the fact that the actual mech designs in many
Jesus,
cases,
that's a great opening.
Very goofy. Oh yeah. JT Steiner.
No, it's JT Marsh.
JT Marsh. JT Marsh.
Steiner's
from BattleTech.
BattleTech. That's right. Yeah.
I'm getting things mixed up in my head. So
you know you're gonna be playing Robotech. You're gonna be owing Kevin Cimbetti some money.
Well, actually, you know, the funny thing about that is there's a bunch of mechs called the Unseen. So there's a couple mechs in BattleTech that I'm like, those mechs are really cool. I'm like, they look way cooler than your normal BattleTech mech. I'm like, what the fuck's going on with these mechs? They look fucking dope. Yeah, you want to know why they look super cool, Joe?
Because they're from Robotech.
They're from fucking Robotech. So they're literally stolen Robotech mechs, and they refer to them in the BattleTech lore as the Unseen, because there's no official BattleTech pictures anywhere in any officially published BattleTech book that has those models pictured. And that's why they're called the Unseen, because they're literally stolen Macross robots.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It makes sense. That's why no one's seen them, because it also makes sense that when people were creating BattleTech back in the day, they would use robots from Robotech in their games.
Right.
I think Robotech came first, then BattleTech.
Yeah, absolutely. Robotech came first.
Yeah.
Macross is older than BattleTech. But yeah, I mean, so the game was really fun. I had a great time. I like the mechs. They're fine. My actual complaint about BattleTech, now that I've played it a few times, like actually, like, you know, played it with minis more than me going, fuck, this game blows, I'm done. It's actually kind of annoying to tell the mechs apart, because a lot of them, like, they look different when you put them next to each other. But there's definitely a lot that like almost look like they have the same chassis. So it's like, it's sometimes really hard to remember which one is which. So I'm probably going to label mine in some way. Just for that's just like a weird, like specific model complaint I have.
This because, one's like, name is Eugene.
Eugene. Yeah. This one's Bill. Yeah, dare refuse my patrol. So I don't know. It was fun. I had a great time. I look forward to playing it again. I will probably play it semi often, I think. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. It's no War Master, but it's good.
I can tell you about my gaming experience that I just had recently. It's not a gaming experience, more of a hobby experience.
All right, I'm ready.
I put together the worst model ever created.
I mean, that could be so many. I'll say you should probably preface that as the worst model you've yet to put together. Cause I bet you,
I'm gonna be hyperbolic and just say it's the worst model ever created. Right. It is the plastic Contemptor Dreadnought from the Horus Heresy box set that they just released.
Uh-huh.
There is no reason on God's green earth that model is as many pieces and as poorly, poorly cut as it is. It is the worst model I've ever seen. There's a split in the center of the head. There's no reason to have a split in the center of the head.
That's
other fantastic. Than to just be a dick when putting together this model.
That's fantastic.
The kit. No, and seriously, Steve, it's like every piece, the foot is two pieces. Then it's like the shin is two pieces. Then the leg and the knee is two pieces. The leg itself is two pieces. So it's like times that times two because there's two legs. And then you had to have the waist, and the waist is three pieces.
That's like, wild. You know, anytime there's those specific design decisions, I always really want to talk to the engineer. Like, I want to know why. Because there's yep. there's a, like, especially the split them up. Because there's been so many kits that have been designed the opposite, where they're so elegant, where it's just like, this model looks like it doesn't have any joins because yeah, they're all hidden.
You know what that is? That's Warhammer Underworlds. Almost all the models in Warhammer Underworlds are really well put together.
It's true.
And then you have like this starter set, and it's just like, why? Why would you make these decisions? This is just poor. Like, I understand that you want people to feel like they have some sort of investment in the game. They're not just like clipping out a single pose model and putting it on a base. They're having some enjoyment building the figures, even though I absolutely fucking hate it, but whatever, like, I'll do it. Cause even still, even though I'm clipping out like eight pieces, they only make like a one pose, which is kind of annoying.
That's the part that's not really forgivable. If there's that many pieces, it should be poseable.
Yes. Well, the dreadnought is super poseable. It's just, there's no reason for that many pieces to exist on there.
I see.
It's bad. It's real bad. And then it's like, so you're gluing it together and you're getting glue all over the place because it's 1,000 pieces. I'm like, I've put together models before in my life. I'm not an idiot. I am not.
Well, I mean,
I do have big fat Polish fingers. Let's be fair. But I'm not like that fumbly with them. I think I'm very elegant with my fingers, but even still, I'm just kind of like all over the place. Cause the model's a fucking hunk of crap because it's so many pieces. And maybe it's just because I'm so used to 3D printing at this point where I'm just like, print and then go, one model comes out exactly all put together and I don't have to worry about
that's it. Right, you've become lazy in your old age.
You're resting on your laurels.
You haven't been in the trenches building models in too long. You've forgotten exactly. How to do it
exactly. But that was the only hobby experience I've had, is like, and I got the Dungeons and Dragons Fifth Ed new bus starter set. I believe
you said it was much better than Mines of Phandelver, right?
I feel that it's a lot more, it's a much better starter set than Mines of Phandelver. And by that, good. I mean, I feel that the adventure inside there is a really, really good introduction to Dungeons and Dragons. What I like about it, so all the characters are pre-generated. And what
it's the cast from the cartoon, right?
No, it's, you know, yes, there's like a acrobat, but the acrobat's not an acrobat. It's a, you know, a rogue, and the rogue has it's an elven rogue or something like that. Right. So they're not all human. They're not like, they all have the reason for going to this fantasy like shipwreck island. Right.
All right.
And that's spelled out on the character sheet. So you can't play Bumpus Fartfuck, the halfling cleric, because that character doesn't exist in this game.
Man, right. You're out.
Yeah, Bumpus Fartfuck can't be in this game.
You're banned. No one's going to let you play now.
Yes. So you have to play as one of the characters from this. Like, you could hand wave it and blah, 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 blah. But I suggest playing the characters from the starter. You have a very great introductory kind of like combat session, much better than Mines of Phandelver, because Mines of Phandelver, you had the little ambush on the cart with the goblins, and it was like you had to fight the goblins essentially.
Yeah,
this one you come across some zombies, and it's like you could fight the zombies or not fight the zombies, but if you don't fight the zombies, it'll come back and bite you in the ass a little bit later, which I liked about that.
Yeah, that's very good. That's good. That's a really good introduction to how D&D works too.
Exactly. And especially for the DM, because I'm also looking at this in terms of like a new DM learning this game and wanting to do this with the kids or with their buddies. This is how they're going to have to. This is a great way of doing it. There's like a couple mini encounters, and you can't get to the next stage unless you do all these mini encounters. And it kind of lends you to doing the mini encounters before you get too far ahead of yourself, which is nice. And there's little things too, like, oh, there's a shipwreck and there's like a fungus cave and there's blah, blah, blah. It's like a little observatory and all this stuff.
Are there any mushroom men?
There are myconids there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool. I mean, I really like it. And it's not too RP heavy. It's not too combat heavy. It's very mellow. You can kind of get what you want out of it.
That's good.
Yeah. And what I also like about it is that your characters all have reasons for going to the island that you're not especially supposed to share. You can if you want to. But what I like about that is that it gives you a reason to role play. You know, yes. You're not a murder hobo. You're on this island for a reason. You're not there just to kill stuff.
Yes.
Which is nice because that's, as I think I said in the last cast, it's like, the Dungeon Dragons will inevitably lead to murder hobo because if your character is so powerful it cannot die, you have no motivation to do anything.
That's why you gotta really understand and get back into the old Gygaxian style of downtime. Your characters aren't, I mean, that's the problem, is because people want to adventure 24/7, so that's what makes murder hobos happen. But that doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, your character is supposed to have like a personal life, and your questing companions aren't people you spend, they're like your coworkers. They might be like more friendly than your coworkers, like maybe even, you know, they could be really close friends even, but like, they're not supposed to be your character's fucking family. It's supposed to be like, you go, you do a quest.
But Steve, it's all about family.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing what's that fucking Fast and the Furious?
Yeah.
Even Fast and the Furious, they don't 24/7 hang out with each other.
Actually, they do in the Fast and the Furious movies.
Do they? Is there no downtime in Fast and Furious movies?
No.
I don't watch them.
It's all about family.
It is all about family. It's Torello. And then that one dude blowing up in his Porsche or whatever. So like,
yeah, how is, I mean, how is Paul Walker like Nelson Mandela?
How?
They both went out at 90.
Hey. You know, the Paul Walker
gone
fan,
too soon.
Paul Walker fan is going to be mad. Paul Walker fan 69 is going to be so mad at you.
Gone too fast. Gone too soon.
You should have said gone too fast, gone too furious. You blew it.
No, it's too fast, too soon. Oh, anywho, but yes, the there is a lot of there should be a lot more role playing in there. Your characters are kind of guided by some bigger things going on, which is nice.
Yeah, it's good. And then hopefully they introduce the concept of downtime in the next edition of D&D, where your characters actually, you know, do things at their manses and stuff, and bring back fighters getting a castle at level 10.
there is an expansion that talks about like what to do during your downtime for the new edition. But nice. Because they don't like really enforce it, it's kind of just like a for funsies thing.
Yeah, they gotta add the rewards to make it make sense.
What's that one called? Holy shit, I'm just looking at my books right now. They're right behind me. Acquisitions Incorporated.
Ah.
Which is about like setting up a business in Dungeons & Dragons.
That's silly.
Exactly. It's like, whatever. But yeah, so that's I do recommend the new set. It's really cool for starters. It actually might be fun for some of your role-playing groups, just for like a one or two night, just kind of fun run through, like, hey, let's get back to the roots of this game sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've been playing Curse of Strahd for like 2 years at this point. Let's go and play this new little saltwater taffy expansion.
Yeah,
I don't remember what it's actually called. I've been calling it saltwater taffy.
I mean, I like calling it saltwater taffy. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. God, what's the name of it? I don't know in front of me. But I've been and I know I showed you, but I've been working on my encounter board, which I knew was going to take the world by storm. Is what it's going to do.
I mean, it's definitely just a variant of Dungeon Pizza, but it looks nice.
Yeah, it's just basically a like 10x10 piece of tile that I got from Home Depot that's got like the individual little tiles that you'll grout in between, but I built out a box for it. And so the nice thing is that the tiles are all 1 inch, so your characters can move on this kind of like just like a normal dungeon map, but but I'm not using it in terms of like, well, each one counts as, you know, a 5 foot. So, you know, if you're here, your spell won't be able to reach him because it only has a radius of 15 feet, you know, sort of thing. I'm not that kind of guy, but I like it to use this show like, oh, this is where you are on the board and this is where the monster is. Oh, so you did a jump behind him and stabbed him and he threw you off. So you're over here at this point.
Yep. Yeah, it's a Dungeon Pizza variant.
Yeah,
kind of. Which is good.
Yeah. And I also, I did use my 3D printer to print out a shipwreck because there's a shipwreck on the in the game. So I was like,
nice.
I'm going to print out a shipwreck. It's a can. yeah. And one last thing I wanted to talk about. I don't know if you have more to talk about it, but I saw Nope.
Oh, yeah. Is it good?
Really good. I think you'd like it very much. It's not a horror movie.
Right.
It is a sci-fi movie. It's cool. A sci-fi horror movie, but it is very sci-fi. I think you'll appreciate it.
Cool.
And I'm not spoiling anything for you, but in the first, like, well, after the title sequence, you hear a voice talking, this old cowboy guy, and immediately I was like, that's fucking Keith David. Sure enough, it's like 2 seconds later, you show him, I'm like, yeah, it's Keith David!
Nice.
Yeah, I was very excited about that.
Oh, carrying on the tradition of being in every sweet sci-fi horror movie ever. It's Keith David.
There's Keith David. Yeah, I know that they marketed it as horror because it's Jordan Peele and he did two horror movies, but this is definitely has horror elements to it. And I think the horror elements are done very well, but it is a straight up like sci-fi horror. And that horror, it's light on the horror. It's heavy on the sci-fi, light on the horror.
Cool.
And even the sci-fi is not too heavy. It's just, it's a wild movie. It's one of those movies that you're like, you're done watching it and you're like, I'm glad there are still people out there making fucking good movies.
Sweet. I mean, I'll definitely watch it then. Yeah. I mean, it's not like I wasn't going to watch it. It's a Jordan Peele movie and I've liked them all so far. So.
Yeah. I watched Underwater. Have you seen that one?
I have not.
Kristen Stewart.
That's one where there's just a horrifying monster under the water, right?
Yeah. I was told that I might like it because it is very Lovecraftian. It is not Lovecraftian. That person lied to me. The first half of the movie is very, very good. I was like, fuck, this is a great little sci-fi movie. It's very thriller-esque. It's like they're in an underwater like drilling station and there's an accident or something happens and the whole thing is like exploding. So it's them trying to get off the station and she keeps finding people along the way that keeps adding to the party and blah, blah, blah. And it's very tense. It's very like claustrophobic. And, you know, there's a impetus and a time orientation to it. And I'm like, oh, well, fuck, fuck, fuck. This is great. And then it just falls fucking apart. I know. I was so disappointed by it.
That's a shame.
But yeah. And I'll just explain it because this movie came out, you know, 3 years ago. Is that it's Lovecraftian because the monster in the bottom of the ocean is Cthulhu. It is literally Cthulhu.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. There's no cosmic horror to it. It's just Cthulhu. It's literally Cthulhu at the bottom of the ocean.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not cool.
It's cool, but it's like, it would be like, if you're watching a Godzilla movie and Cthulhu just shows up and Godzilla beats up Cthulhu and you're like, that's not Cthulhu. I mean, it looks just like Cthulhu, but Godzilla couldn't beat Cthulhu.
I don't know. Godzilla could probably beat Cthulhu. Godzilla's beaten the Greek god Zeus.
Yeah, but that's Zeus.
You don't think Zeus could fight Cthulhu? You think Cthulhu's just flat out more powerful than Zeus?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know about that, man. Zeus led a pantheon. Cthulhu's just a priest.
That's true. Cthulhu is just a priest, but still, it was very disappointing that it was just Cthulhu and it was like there was nothing involved like Lovecraftian. There was no cosmic horror or like, you know, sense of dread or anything, you know, normal like you'd see in a Lovecraft movie.
Yeah, that is weird. That is kind of weird to just use Cthulhu as like a big monster.
Yeah, it's pretty much all it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
But yeah, I was a little disappointed in that. All right. Do we have any other gaming stuff we want to talk about?
We do not. We can call it a wrap.
We'll call it a wrap. All right. You go to your Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way you can get in contact with us. You can like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes, like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTubes. I will say that the comments that I get on YouTube, you generally make me laugh more than anything, because usually it's, they're just like people yelling at us about stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't really know what we will mention on the, oh, you know, what we forgot to talk about the new edition of Lord of the Rings, the new stuff that they're releasing for it.
Oh, I mean, it looks cool. I love Lord of the Rings.
You know, we're not going to talk about it, because we talked about those models 30 years ago when they were introduced.
Not the new characters.
Yeah, the new character. Oh, yeah. Woohoo. You get three characters in a box set and you get the same fucking models that you bought 20 years ago.
Well, I mean, they would just not rebuy them, I assume.
I know. Well, I mean, I just it angers me on such a level that they're still using those models. And like they introduce, like they release them and they do these big releases like, and you're just like, I don't, those models are so bad at this point. I know you don't care as much, but I think it's stupid.
I don't.
I think it's stupid, Steve.
Are you buying them? You shouldn't care.
You know, that doesn't matter. I, as a man baby myself, I get to make comments on stuff, and people have to listen to comments.
You have strong opinions about games that you're never going to participate in.
I have strong opinions about games I'm never going to play.
I love it.
Yeah, so there's that. I have to wrap this up. Tonight's Frasier night, so I have to get upstairs so we can watch some Frasier.
All right, sounds good.
Yes, you can like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes, like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes. You could follow me on Instagram at Game Classy Joe. You could follow Steve on Twitter at command_throw. So, Steve, until the next time.
Couple is the clan name for coitus.
Do they have names for coffee? Like, I'm going to drink some calf.
Probably.
That's a standard sci-fi thing. Like, it's like, explain to me that your setting is sci-fi, but you don't know anything about sci-fi.
Yeah, just call it calf.
It's calf.
Or just call it caffeine. I need some caffeine.
No, they call it calf.
Oh, no, I listened to a sci-fi podcast that was pretty good. Mine's the fact that they refused to call coffee. They called it caffeine, which really made
me feel. Yeah, it's, or your jazz music is in the Star Wars universe.
Jizz
music. Later.
Later.
Game Classy.